Jay, would you be up for praying for us?
Yeah. Lord, I thank you for today. Thank you for the opportunity to gather. We thank you for the sunshine. We thank you for a great great school year with all the college students. And Lord, they're in a season of wrapping up. Lord, we thank you for today, the opportunity to gather and to be together as a church. Thank you for all those you've given us in the city. From young to old, we pray you continue to guide and direct and bless our efforts there, and that you would, I pray you would, you continue to grow us as a church, Lord, as individuals, but also just in numbers, in the coming summer and coming year. And I pray, bless this time as we look back, kind of look around at some things and what's coming. So, pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen.
Right. Anyone have any live sent stories they'd love to open us up with for the morning?
I think for me, so I'm doing my slice this morning, and you know, part of it, I was reflecting on my my story as a Christian, and so part of that had me looking back at old pictures of campus stuff, you know, from back in the day. And you know, it's easy, and I was thinking how often Satan, you know, for Em and I, were like, oh, you know, this person, they're not following Christ anymore, and now this person, man, they were really mad at us, and did we help their spiritual walk, or did we hurt it, you know, things right. like that, and really, like, the negative elements. But, you know, so much of it, you know, it's like, such a small fraction, because so much of it, I'm looking at the pictures, and I'm just going, man, you know, this was awesome. You know, I listened to some old Jeff Kern talks, 1995, 1997, Great Commission stuff. And I was just getting really fired up. So I've just been having a really good week, just reflecting on how good God's been to me and how good he's been and used us to do things. So that would be me.
That's awesome, man. I was listening to the 90 Day Challenge audio that you did, sort of the tail end. I can't remember what day it was. And just reflecting back on, you know, some of those joint college years, and you were talking about Jeffo, and I'm just thinking about just the impact of the downline of a few conversations, just afresh of, you know, we've got the benefit of a couple decades afterwards, and just thinking, well, what's the impact? I don't even know how to estimate it. And I can see that one better than most. So it was encouraging to me afresh. Of, you know what? It matters. This matters in ways that we can't even project or understand.
Yeah. Jeff Owen McCurry will be in my slide deck. You got McCurry's baptism picture and, you know, some other baptism pictures. So, yeah, it's just.
I know, I'm excited.
Yeah, it's interesting. You. I just find it interesting how, like, our brains as humans, like, we just focus on the negative things. You know, like, Em and I have to fight that all the time with our kids, you know, ministry. It's just, like, so easy to focus on that negative stuff. So, yep.
That's awesome. All right, friends, can I ask your text help here? I can't, this like link to the 5K run is huge. It's like so long. It's like a text by it. It's like two texts by itself. Can I just say the Big House 5K run, use main routes? Is that a good idea? Okay.
I was going to share, I was encouraged because I went ahead and shared the YouTube of Easter service with my mom, and she's nice. Not a believer, and she watched it right away, and I was just super encouraged by that. I haven't really had a follow-up conversation with her, but I talked to her a lot, so it'll inevitably come up.
That's cool.
But I was encouraged that she watched it right away.
That's so great. Good job inviting.
She can also pray. I'm praying my assistant Jocelyn comes this morning. She's 19. She's told me about 3-4 times she's going to come to church. We're like 0 for 4 so far. So hopefully today she's supposed to bring her and her roommate. My partner, Dr. Marzoni's coming. I know that. And then hopefully have about a couple of staff members watching on Zoom as well. So that's awesome. another kind of cool thing with this moment.
Man, nice job maximizing that invitation space, Steve. Well done. I was talking with, I'm down in Muncie, Indiana this weekend to teach at the Revolution Church at Ball State. It's one of the other churches in our collegiate network. And Carl Frost is the lead pastor on the ground there. And we were just talking about some ministry efforts he did back like 15 years ago. He does some crazy stuff. But one of the things he consistently does well is just invite. So they did this like four, remember when Foursquare was the thing, the game with the ball and all that. So they did these massive Foursquare tournaments downtown outside the library when no one ever had done any like live music before. And so they got like musicians and rappers and yo-yo artists and, you know, he had all these people doing this tournament and just sheer like invited them all personally. I was like, that's impressive. I got to get on my invitation game. This is cool. Any other stories you guys want to share? I'd love to hear them. Foursquare was the thing. Yeah. Sometimes you got to ride the wave. I feel like I'm watching one of my kids' YouTube videos when I'm like watching one of their like live YouTube streamers who's just responding to comments. You're just watching like, what's he reading? What's he talking about?
Mary had a dental cleaning yesterday and I don't remember who the dental hygienist was. But when she came out, she said, "She's great. I just kind of want to go to your church just because she's going to be there."
Oh, that's awesome.
It was hilarious. I was like, I didn't tell her that I didn't invite her to church. So Mary must have brought it up with Dr. Gray being her dentist. I don't know how she got there, but she did that all on her own. I was just sitting in the waiting room. So
that's awesome. Dr. Weirdo is more. I think my new title with Mary is Dr.
Yeah.
Weirdo.
Yeah, she might not have led with that. But.
No, I think she was saying now it was something like Beef-a-rama or something. I don't know, because you told her about that other kid who calls
Dr. Dr. Beef. Yeah. Dr. Emily's daughter calls me Dr. Beef. Yeah.
So it's changing, it's morphing.
Also, Timothy invited a friend from school over after school on Friday to come fishing. So we went fishing on the pond. So Timothy and his friend, and our neighbor has this little paddle boat. And so we're out there in the pond and Timothy and I are catching fish, but his friend is not catching fish yet. And he's getting kind of frustrated and he's like almost swearing. Like he's like starts the word, but didn't quite like say it. And Timothy kind of notices. And then after like a couple minutes, Timothy asks just out of the blue, he's like, "Adam, do you go to church?" Adam asked, "Why do you ask?" He's like, "How did he say it?" He's like, "You know, just curious." He's like, "Yeah, we do." He's like, "Well, where do you go?" He's like, "I don't know the name of it." And so you just like engaged a small conversation with him. And I was like, man, this is good. Like, just watch the mental process go through. It was just delightful. Good to be there. Some good follow-up conversation.
Was it Timothy that said he didn't know what church you went to, or the other guy?
No, the other kid. The other kid.
Okay, I was going to say, that'd be kind of funny.
No.
And that's funny to say, my dad's a pastor, but I don't know what our church is.
Well, that's what he did say. He's like, my dad's a pastor at our church. What church do you go to? And yeah, he's like, I don't know. He's like, okay. He didn't have too many great questions to ask after that, but I thought it was good. I'm going to cycle back on that. Well, Jay, would you mind jumping into some things to celebrate? We have discovered on our city staff team that celebration is not my forte. So I'm leaning into the Jays and the Sam Marys and the Ayla's of the world to do this well. So we talked about a bunch of stuff we're excited about on our last city staff team meeting. We just thought we should share them with you. We should talk about them.
Yeah, I'm trying to think where my list went. Did you want me to talk championships first? And then?
Yeah, I mean, that's the one that comes to mind foremost.
Oh, okay. Ayla, feel free to jump in if I miss anything. At New Life, we have three championships. Those are things that weeks that we kind of rally around in terms of whole church ministry and life, and try to see if we can invite and engage outsiders to come. So that's something that we had talked about in the city years and years ago, and our whole church pretty much in the last couple of years has kind of leaned into that mentality. So the first one, if you go through like the course of a school calendar year, would be fall launch. So fall launch week, when all the new people are coming to the church, both families, people in the city, college students are showing up. And then the second one would be the Christmas Advent season. So pushing into Christmas, which that one's a little more than a week because the concert's so early in the month. We tend to spread that one out for most of the month. And then the third one is Easter. And that was one that historically didn't always get the most traction in our church when we talk whole church. And this was kind of a cool thing in the last 3 to 5 years. There's been a lot of shift to where we said, hey, this is one of our championships. We extended it to call it Holy Week. So it's Palm Sunday, Good Friday, Easter. We revamped the Good Friday service a few years ago. John Rowe did that, which if you have yet to come back to a Good Friday service, I would highly encourage it next year. It's really good. It's a concert, it's musical reflection. It walks you through it all. And then as was shared, the Easter this year, we had some really cool stuff happen. And as Emily shared it with her mom, I shared it with some of my ministry partners, shared it with someone I'm living sent to. It's a great service, top to bottom, that you could push out to people around you, get a picture of what's our church like, what we're about. Obviously, that was a little different. It was like 25 people on stage for worship with the huge choir that we had. But we just looked at Easter this year and said, across the board from Palm Sunday, Good Friday, Easter, we felt like people were inviting friends and family. People were talking about it. There was the Easter service itself this year was, for the second year in a row, our biggest service of the year, which historically is significant because we used to, by far, the second week of launch in the fall was always our biggest service. Get a lot of students and other people that would come. And then it would kind of trickle down all year to summer. And for us to see, have a good fall launch, that first championship, a great Christmas season, and then to actually peak at Easter in terms of attendance and invitation and other people just hearing about us and attending, it's a pretty big culture change from the past. And we were excited to see that we're over the course of the year, as we go through these, we don't lose momentum. We actually seem to have gained momentum coming into Easter. So that was, it was really good. If you didn't happen to get to see it in person, or people in your group or sphere missed Easter, I would encourage you to tell your group or your friends, people in your circle of influence, just go back and watch it, because there were some really unique things. One in particular was a song written by Brett, our drummer, Brett Higgins, and phenomenal song. And John Rowe just happened to have the right people and talent in place to kind of take it to a whole nother level when they shared it. And it was really a fun part of the service. So, yeah, that's a big, huge win. And wanted to thank all of you in the city for inviting others, talking about it, engaging, showing up through the Easter events. Felt like we had good attendance through all of it. And it leads us to a place of going, okay, we've got momentum 2 years running on this. And what does it look like next year to sustain that? But also think about how could we add to the Holy Week in particular to engage more people that are outside the church. So beyond that, we also just talked in general of some other celebrations through this year, which one of the biggest I would say is Ayla. We've been celebrating the fact that we have Ayla with us. We about year and a half, almost 2 years ago, we're kind of in a spot going, we don't know exactly what we're going to do with youth. We had some people helping with the high school ministry, and then they were transitioning. We felt like we were to combine middle school into youth, call it a youth role. And then also we were not knowing what we were going to do with our New Life kids. And Lord brought Ayla, and it's been fantastic. It's been pulling us out of the pandemic, transitioning. We've had multiple families in the last 3 months show up who we are meeting them at New Life Kids and at the youth, and they're telling us they've searched online and found our church because they heard we have good youth or good kids programs, which was not something that people came to us for about 10 years ago. So huge change there, which was awesome. And then our youth doubled in size in the last 6 months. With regular attenders. So there's some families that have come and regular attending, and our kids program continues to grow. Some from outside, some because all of you in the city and some of the other younger families have done a great job in multiplying. And so we are growing in that to where we've been kind of in this curriculum that has helped us get through the pandemic side of things. And we're looking at moving outside of that, either back to disciple land or something different, and having add some classes this coming fall. So we're pretty excited about where things are at with that. And I would say the other big celebration is the strategy we shifted to say for home groups, where we're going to put a pause and then lean into the summer socials on Sundays after church, the Wednesday and Sunday evening home groups that we're going to be doing. That had a ton of traction last year, and we're really excited to be able to pause, give all the leaders a break, and then lean into the summer rhythm. And I think it's going to be really good over the course of the year, and then to relaunch and have space and place for people to mix, get plugged in. We're excited about that. And then the last thing that was on my mind, Joel, was we did the 90-day challenge with the discipleship pathway. And I think it was pretty close to half of the people. We had 150 people engaged, and it was pretty much 50-50 Campus City. I think Campus May had a few extra at the end, but it was really good engagement. And it was cool to hear that even some of the people in the city who did it in the kind of, as we were building it out beta style over the summer, did it again, but did it with other people this year, including a number of dads did it with their high school students and middle school students. I just thought, well, not just dads, but families, dads and wives, listening to it on the way to school and different things. And it was really good. We definitely feel like that as that flows out into living scent and mission, I think that engaged with Easter well with people. And I feel like the idea of living scent is really on people's minds right now as we come to the end of the school year, and we have one more month of, you know, public school stuff, but to keep that mindset going into the summer, I'm excited to see what God might do with it. So
that's awesome. Those are great things, Jay. Thanks so much for sharing them. I that was all the main ones I was thinking of too. I was at Easter, it was Easter Sunday. Rose and I were sitting in the back with our family, and I was just like during the service looking around and strategizing all the people I wanted to try and meet before they like disappeared. And I was like, there's too many. I
got too many.
There's someone, those guys, that family there. Like, so it was delightful, a delightful problem to have. Still a little stressful, but
yeah. Oh, I will say this. We've had this over the years. There's been a mindset of, well, we're a campus church, and well, other people want to come to us. And I hope you hear through this, new people are showing up for the city, families with kids. They want to be, they're hearing about our church, the youth, especially. I've said for years that we have an ability to have one of the best youth programs in the area because we have so many college students that we have. And Ale has been able to get college students involved in our youth program. My daughter's in there. She loves engagement with her leader as a college student, and they look up to him. There's impact with it that's going to continue to sustain going forward. And I do think it's a unique opportunity that families can come here, their youth can be in places where they're getting mentored and interacting with college students who are further along, and then on Sundays they get to be around them and worship with them. And the potential as we continue to lean into that, I think, is only going to get bigger and bigger. And for all of us, especially some of us who've been around a long time, is some of these people are driving in. I mean, they're driving 20, 30 minutes. Many of you on this call are driving 20, 30 minutes. And sometimes we just think, well, who would actually want to come drive to our church, deal with the parking? It's all the way in the city. You know, there's days like today, race day. And it's like, well, we've all done it and we love it. And there's a ton of people that are finding us, and they're loving it. So I would just say, as we live sent and invite, just invite anyone and everyone, because people are hungry for community. And I think we do that well, and we can offer it to people. So
I think so too.
That's all I got.
That's good stuff.
Hey, Jay, I'll add one quick thing. One of Eli's classmates started showing up to service a few weeks ago, and I engaged him after service this last week, and I said, hey, so why are you here? You know, and he's actually been to like two or three churches, and big names, I won't name names, but some of the bigger names in town. And, you know, he basically said, I love it here. I think until I go off to college, it's going to be my church. So I encourage him to connect with Chelsea and Ayla and the team, and perhaps get engaged with what we have going on. Not too much time left, but I was really encouraged. Like, he really loves the service. So again, well done, everybody.
People are great. And honestly, the Sunday services, there's been a ton of work into those the last couple of years. The Spirit of God is moving in unique ways right now, and people are experiencing God's presence in powerful ways. And you can't always explain it, but people are experiencing God and they want to come and be a part of it. So,
and it's a team effort. Like, we're looking at our whole community on deck to make those things happen and to create that kind of space. So it feels like a great time to be involved, to be here. Mm-hmm. So, speaking of time, we've got about a month before we shift into our summer mode. I think most of you have heard this by now. All of you have heard this by now, but we're transitioning with our groups and our kind of rhythms. And May, really Mother's Day weekend is kind of be our transition point from this current mode that we're in to the summer mode. So May 17th is a Wednesday. May 14th is Mother's Day. May 17th is a Wednesday. That'll be the first day we have our combined kind of all church summer home group. I think we're just calling it summer home group. And we've landed on Sarah Marie, if you want, I'll love to have you cover these details if you want, but we've landed on two main nights that we're going to do. We're going to do Wednesday nights and Sunday nights. The time's a little bit different for each. The Wednesday night group will start at 6 p.m. And then the Sunday night group will start at 5:30 p.m. And our thought process on that is we're trying to toe that line of not too late so that it's too difficult for families to be actively engaged because of bedtimes for kids, and not too early that it's, you know, a difficult thing for the students to want to participate because they usually do things later in the evenings. And so that balance Sunday, there isn't as many people working. So we figure an earlier time slot can work. Plus it gives us the opportunity to gel a little bit with the youth schedule over the summer in a couple of spots. And then in the Wednesday night, pushing it a little bit later so that people actually have time to get there after work. And in both nights, what we're going to do is just basically have a standard 30-minute, you know, time ahead of time. If you want to come and bring your dinner and just eat together with people ahead of time, just like we did last summer, come on out and do that. So 6 o'clock start with on Wednesday, 5:30 on Sundays. The times are going to be interchangeable in the sense we're going to have the same content planned for both evenings. And so if you want to come to Wednesdays typically, but in a particular week you're out on vacation, you don't want to miss it, you want to come on Sunday night, you can come on Sunday night. Or if you want to invite a friend and they can only make it to the one that you don't normally come to, then feel free to jump to that other one. We're trying to set it up so that there's not necessarily a difference between the two times. Let's see. So we start May 17th. We'll roll to about mid-August or so. And we are tag teaming the leadership of these with our campus cohort. And so we're planning it together. And we've got a schedule laid out. So we're going to try and invite a bunch of different people to facilitate the nights. And so it's not just going to be the same face every single week. We'll have some content that we can cover through scripture, prayer. A lot of the basic components you've come to expect for home groups over the years will be present there as well. Sarah Marie, what am I missing? What are the key things we should talk through?
I think you're doing great. We also will be having not only content, but we will also have some interspersed social activities. I know many of you and your families really love the bonfire with s'mores and popsicles, and we're meeting indoors this summer where it's harder to have a bonfire, but easier to hear. So we will have some social events sprinkled in there as well to build community. But most of our 15 weeks will be content, and we're really excited about it. The Campus City collaboration team that's been working on it is fantastic, and we hopefully will be able to roll out more info to you soon.
We would love for you guys to jump in and volunteer in spaces if you'd like as well. So if you want to lead worship, one of the nights, if you want to facilitate or MC the evening, we would have basically the package to give you, and you could just lead through it. So it's kind of like leading a home group home. Somebody's already got a plan for you. Just kind of walk it through. So, definitely let us know. The advantage to that is it spreads the load. So none of us are feeling tremendously burdened by having to lead all these weeks. And at the same time, we get a lot of different exposure, a lot of different faces, more and more people meet each other. And that's one of the great advantages of the summer. Instead of like the home groups we have that are, you know, pretty consistent from August through May-ish now in the new rhythms, we've got this opportunity where everybody who's around is going to be intermingling in the same space. It's a ton of opportunities to meet new people, make some new relationships, get exposed to a lot of different people's gifts, spiritual abilities, spiritual gifts, abilities and spiritual gifts, they intertwine those, and just delight in the community that God's given us. So yeah, we will be inside. Part of the challenge, part of the advantage there is you can hear better. Part of it is containment for small children as well. We know that Washtenaw is not a small street, so there's some anxiety with small kids. So we're thinking through how do we best do that in those spaces, and we're still kind of pondering all that stuff and strategizing on it. But we won't have official. Go ahead, Sarmi.
We'll have the whole first floor, 1541, reserved, and then we'll also have the ducklings room. So while we're not providing childcare, there will be a child-friendly space available if you'd like to stick an adult or a teen down there with kids, but we won't be following any of the New Life Kids protocols, just a space available to you.
The other thing we've considered doing and seems probable is with the Freeze House Theater on the second floor for some of the older kids. If we wanted to give them an opportunity to do something together, that's a space we could potentially do as well. Or they can participate in the time. It'll be friendly to them and accessible to kids as well in that main space time. Obviously, it's a little bit different for a 4-year-old versus a 10-year-old or a 15-year-old, but that's the intent, is it's time for families. It's time for the whole church. So families are welcome.
Yep.
The only question I had was, are you encouraged? Like, is it where we can, I know you said we could pick any night, but is it kind of where like our existing home group would kind of like try and go to a night altogether, or is it just whatever works best for your family?
Whatever works best. Okay. And if that's alternating between Sundays and Wednesdays every other week, that's fine. We're not looking to try to stabilize the groups or even try to game how many people are at which one. We're just going to let it fly and see what happens. And so if one night is 20 and the other 60, then we'll just engage who we have.
Okay. Sounds great.
Good question.
We could learn some lessons the hard way as a result, but we're not trying to overly strategize the numbers.
Joel, are you envisioning like being chairs in one of the rooms up on the front of the building in kind of like a circle type thing, or are you imagining it kind of being in the auditorium?
If the group size ends up being under 30, chairs in the map room is probably our first plan. If it expands there, we might pick the lobby. We might even jump to about, yeah. So we want to try and find the best fit size for the group size, essentially. And that's a huge question mark in our minds. We just don't know how many people we'll have. I suspect that after the first couple of weeks, we'll have a better sense of it and then can land into some more regular rhythms. But I'd rather that, you know, a circular kind of a space than an auditorium seating kind of space, because it's just better for conversation. And we will probably most weeks break up into smaller groups for prayer, maybe scripture questions, things along those lines. Smaller groups could be like maybe 10. So we'll have some dynamics there. Any other questions you guys got? Chances are you could ask thanks, Sammy. Chances are you could ask a question we haven't considered yet, which would be really helpful for us in the forward planning.
Honestly, it was a lot of feedback that we got from this meeting that was helpful for planning this year. So please, if you have concerns or see holes in our plan or thoughts, we'd love to hear them.
I don't know if you guys have the flexibility, but I was just thinking with having like the ducklings room available, which is great, and I think it's a good more containment option, but I wondered if and I know getting volunteers is great, but I wondered if we could have a sign up for just a few adult supervisors to just hang out in the room during, like, you know, for a certain time of the discussion, like once a month, you know, I'd be willing to go down there and be in the ducklings room to just kind of have an adult eye down there along with a teen would be great. Just for more safety, I guess. I just wondered, I know we're not like sticking to full guidelines, but I know as a parent, like if I wanted to go and get anything out of it, probably, you know, Joel would have been down there with them 1 week and then maybe I would trade, which can definitely happen organically. But I just wondered if I'm volunteering myself, if that's something that I think it would serve the families to have a little bit more authority down there, I guess, is what I'm thinking.
Yeah, it makes sense. And we all have the same goal of safe kids. I think our hesitancy was if we begin like a formal volunteer process, does that move us too close to that providing childcare line where we would want to follow all the protocols? But I see what you're saying. And I wonder if we can find like a happy middle on that, even if it's maybe a non-city staff grown-up spearheads volunteers for that.
Yeah, that's a good question. Anything else coming to mind?
I know 1 year we, our small group met at a park every week. And, you know, we would do our thing at like a pavilion or picnic table. And then we just had one of the couples like take turns. So you maybe did it once or twice over the summer, kind of like to the playground, or I'm thinking about even like the space behind the freeze house as opposed to like in the front.
Yeah.
But again, I get that you're kind of in that realm of having to have official volunteers, but I think that worked out okay. So even if there's like 1 week where it makes sense to maybe meet outside or have, you know, the group outside, that might be something we could coordinate too.
Yeah. So our plan is to try to do several meetings, not inside. So they either be outside at our property or outside at a park. So like 4th of July week, things like that. Part of it's just to mix it up too. And so, you know, thinking local parks like a Gallup or something like that, where there's a playground and there's pavilion space and we can easily have a good opportunity. And probably we would just change it up. It might not be they're like a game night or something along those lines, just to provide some different opportunities, mix it up a little bit. Our plan, if it all works out, is to hope I went or not overselling this, is to try to find some way to display the whole schedule for the summer. So where those weeks all fit and have that accessible, like best case scenario would be a website if we can pull that off. Something like that where you can go look at it and you're like, oh, okay. So week of July 4th, we're going to be at Gallup. Okay, great. And plan that out ahead of time. So part of it is obviously people arriving at the right location, but some of it is just knowing ahead of time, oh, we'd love to do that with our family, and you can plan around it accordingly. So yeah, we talked about outside spaces too. The back is a little bit easier to contain as well. And it's quieter back there, generally speaking, unless there's a party happening at the frat behind the church. So pray for cold weather in the summer, I guess, maybe. Who knows?
Yesterday was loud.
It was so loud.
Oh yeah, it was so loud.
Campus was thumping yesterday. Mm-hmm. Yep. Everybody was out. It's like, who's studying? You guys would be studying. It's like the end of the year. Get it done. Okay, we can come back to those if you guys have more questions. But Sarah Marie, can I hand it over to you to talk through the upcoming gospel training event and the women's events that are in your sphere?
Yes, I have no upcoming women's events. Book club is up and running. I think there are 10 of us meeting weekly to wrestle through theology and how do we practically apply that to our lives. And it's going really well. Thank you to the ladies who are here who are in that. Coming up on April 23rd is our free gospel engagement workshop. And today is your last day to register for it. It's 1 week from today. And we're so excited that we're bringing Scott Klooster in from East West Ministries to do a practical, conversational workshop on how do we engage others with the gospel. So if you're a person who's like, man, I'd love to talk more about Jesus, but I'm not really sure how to do that, or looking for more tools in your toolbox, this is a really great training just for you. And it is free with dinner provided. We just need you to register. And anyone who's middle school aged and older is invited and wanted to attend.
I'm going to post that link in the chat here a sec once I find it.
Thanks. I'm not at my computer today. You might be able to tell. City's co-hosting the graduate send-off this morning, and so we're getting some stuff ready for that. What questions do you have for me about the gospel engagement workshop?
You remember Saba, is it being recorded at all or whatnot for people there to was, use that resource or no?
There was not a plan to record it, but I don't think that's a terrible idea, especially when we think about, you know, our Living Sent podcast and a few other resources. I can connect with Scott on that.
Oops.
And someone who has the ability to record that, because we all know that that's not my strength.
Sarah Marie, one thing I thought of is that initially I just kind of assumed Josh and Marissa will be at youth group, so I don't need to RSVP because they're already going to be at youth group and it's part of youth group. And I don't think that's your intent. I think you want us to run to RSVP.
Yes, so. Especially for food purposes.
Right.
Yeah.
So I am going to do that now, but we went back and forth on that. Like, do we think they're already going to be there?
Yeah, so great question. Good clarification. Yep. And if you are like, man, I don't want to register all 12 of my children, feel free to just register one of you and email me how many people total are coming in if you have any food allergies.
No problem. Thanks.
Yeah.
All right. Let's see.
I'm excited about it and look forward to seeing you there.
Yeah. This, the gentleman who's running the workshop for us is someone we all, several of us met at Gull Lake, and some of you have met him already. And I think one of the things I'm excited about is I know that sharing the gospel matters, but it's still hard for me. Definitely don't consider myself an evangelist. I think there's still a barrier I have to press through every time I think it through. But when I've talked to him and even heard how he engages people, it just makes it sound so easy. Like, so I just did this, and I always feel like I wanted to write that thing down. Like, wait, what, you said what? That's good. That's really good. That's actually not that intimidating a way to start a conversation.
Because
I feel like once I can get into the conversation, it's a whole different ballgame. But starting it always feels like the challenge. And so he's had a lot of experience all over the place,
in different
cultures. And so I think there's gonna be a lot for us to glean.
It's practical. It's mobile. It's a really easy way to share the gospel.
Some people, I think, are just so good with conversation, or so like clever or elegant or something like that, that just feels like their methods feel unreachable. He's very down to earth, and so when I listen to him talk about how he engages conversations, he just goes at it. I mean, obviously he's got a skill set, but it's the things feel very accessible, very reachable, without having like years and years and years of experience. So good stuff. Even if you like over-register, that's okay. We'll see it on the other end. We can sort all those things out and make the proper amount of food allotments and choices for the time. So Jay, would you be up for talking through our new following Jesus, keeping track methods?
Yes, we have. What we'd love to do is anyone that's coming to Christ, whether it's someone that you lead to the Lord or someone that is you point to the Lord, we've wanted to keep track of the number and then also have ways to like celebrate that. And we've struggled to celebrate because we don't have great ways to keep track of this. So we do have in our vision, we dream of showing people Jesus. We even would love to see 1,000 people place their faith in Jesus as Lord and Savior and to follow him, and then to see, you know, as many baptized. But in order to track where we at, what are we doing? One thing that was pretty awesome for us last year is when we did the spiritual formational missional behavior survey, we asked a lot of questions about missional behavior and are people sharing the gospel. And we saw that over 60 different people shared the gospel one-on-one in some way, or over, I think it was over 100 people that shared, over 60 people that saw someone place their faith in Jesus. Some people saw multiple. And the numbers that came back from that survey of how many came to Christ, we were like, oh my word, this is more than any of us realized. How are we tracking this? So we did a lot of work thinking through where could we do it. We wanted it to be a place that's accessible to everyone. And we're just now in the phase of like rolling this out to try to get as many people knowing the one spot where you can go. And want it to be easy, it's right on our website. So if you were to go to newlifea2.org, do you want me to screen share to show this? Or actually people are listening. So you can go there yourself, newlifea2.org. And it says, we dream of showing people Jesus right at the top. If you were to click on,
I can jump on my screen real quick a second here. I think we try it.
And I put a link in the chat for you to follow too.
There you go. So all you have to do is from our website, you're going to go to the menu, you click get connected. So I'll let Joel do that. Get connected. So that's the one click. And then from this menu, as you scroll down, this is where we had a talk about Jesus section right here. Nope, just scroll down. You don't have to do anything. You should just scroll down. And it says, Jesus is the best button to say, let's know that. New to following Jesus. If you have recently placed your faith in Jesus, decide to follow him. We'd love to hear. Or if you know of someone else who has newly placed their faith in Jesus, you can still fill this out this form. So you would click Jesus following, click that, and then fill it out. So this is one where I would say, Steve Gray, you're going to share in your slice today. You led a lot of people to the Lord on a trip. I think this is a place, in our opinion, to know, like, we want to know who has come to Christ through the work that we've done, the ministries and things. So if you lead someone to the Lord, you can, if you know their name, you can place it there. It has options here. When did this happen? Scroll down. It's, are you or this person interested in being baptized? Tell us more. Please leave your contact info if you're, you'd like someone to follow up with you. So super short form, super easy, but that way the whole church, whether it's staff, city, campus, it's one place to go and then track as people come to the Lord. Who they are and how many we have. And that'll allow us to actually celebrate in real time ongoing. And what's cool is we rolled this out. Really, this is really the first rollout beyond staff team. And we've already seen some staff put stuff in there from spring breaks, but we already had at least one person found this on their own and on the website and submitted themselves. Like they recently came to the Lord. So it is accessible to anyone.
Pretty cool.
And if you're wondering, you know, like, oh, so-and-so and I shared the gospel with someone together, and you both end up filling out the Jesus following form, it's totally fine. We'll see that it's the same people on the back end. So when in doubt, fill it out, and we will on our end consolidate it down if need be. So over-reporting is not a concern of ours as we try to just keep an accurate count and follow up with new Jesus followers.
And some will be like, some people go, well, why are we so into this? Isn't the Lord just doing his thing? Years ago, as you go through the book of Acts, like they count numbers. Someone was counting, and it mattered. It mattered to God because it's in here. He knows every hair on our head. He is the one who takes care of us. And if heaven celebrates when one sinner repents, this is us trying to say, how can we actually do a better job of that, even in just the local church? And it's hard to celebrate things you can't see. So help us see it.
Sweet. Thanks, Jay. Ayla, did I miss your window?
A very short window. Okay. Left. shall I dive into it?
Yes. Yes, Your
Honor. All right. Yeah, I just wanted to let all of our city home groups know and just remind them that VBS registration is open now, and would love for you to encourage families who have, I think it's kindergarten through leaving fourth grade, aged kids to join us at St. Paul's School in East Ann Arbor for our VBS collaboration with St. Paul and St. Luke, and one other church I can't remember. It's a very large VBS. I think they had like 200 or 300 kids last year. Lots of fun. And this year it's going to be the week of Father's Day, Monday through Thursday in the mornings from 9 a.m. to noon. There's a slide on the Sunday morning rotation that has a registration link. I'll also be sending out another reminder email with the registration link to our families next week. And it's coming up before you know it. So registering now is advised. Also coming up before you know it is summer, and our summer New Life Kids schedule is traditionally the hardest time of year to get all of the classrooms staffed because the college students, many of our New Life Kids team is about half college students, and many of them are traveling or away from town over the summer, as well as just, you know, everybody's doing vacations. So you're going to hear this morning an invite to sign up to serve. Even if it's only twice this summer, we're asking more people to sign up to join our New Life Kids team and just serve two or more times this summer to help get all those spots covered and to keep all the classrooms open so that we don't have to merge any or close any due to lack of team members. Super simple ask, two Sundays a summer, feels like a really easy ask to someone, and would encourage you to ask your home group members to sign up, or maybe even sign up as a home group. There's like an hour's worth of training that's required if you've never done it before, but that can be completed from home, and it's pretty simple. And we just love to have more people on our team. So speaking of, I'm going to sign off now.
Yes, thanks so much.
Good to see all of you. Bye.
Last thing I have for you is it's kind of integrated. I don't know what our May huddle is going to be yet. I'm still trying to figure that out, or if we can even pull it off. The challenge is threefold, mostly having to do with scheduling for May. Rose and I have our 24th anniversary coming up in May, so there's going to be a couple weeks when I'm out of town. I don't know if you've heard yet, but our very own Jason Bennett is heading on sabbatical in 3 weeks. He's got three more work weeks and then is out. I'm going to take over as the interim city director while Jay is out. And we're really looking forward to seeing what God does with that time. But that's less staffing resources than we typically have. We've got a Mother's Day in there. Probably not going to want to schedule something for you on Mother's Day. I know we're not going to. I'm teaching on May 7th. So I just don't quite know how we're going to pull that off yet. So we're thinking that through. I'll let you know. I'll keep you posted. But I mostly wanted to let you guys know, be praying for Jay and Tammy and their family as he steps out on sabbatical and engages whatever God has for him in that season. Any words you want to put to that, Jay? I know I just sprung.
Yeah, back. I was gonna say, my wife actually said, "Hey, tell me exactly what sabbatical's for," because she's like, people are asking me, and she's like, I don't always have the answer. So I was just going to actually share that, because I think we've had a number of people go on sabbatical, but I still get the question from people in the city. Sabbatical is a time away from normal ministry and responsibilities to engage in other work, often soul care, career perspective, looking back, also looking ahead, time to rest, reflect, realign with God's calling on your life. It's so really by disengaging from normal ministry and leadership involvement for a period of time, we're allowed space for evaluation of life and ministry. In some ways, it reflects they call it the Sabbath of Sabbaths, or the year of Jubilee in the Old Testament, where it was like after 6 years, they took a seventh year of rest. So for us in ministry, every 7 years, people are open to the possibility of sabbatical, not that everyone does it that way. So it's a time to quiet noise of life and really just hear the voice of Jesus, be with him. For some people, it involves study. For me, it's going to be, I'll probably do some study, some writing, some creative projects, some adventure, spend time with family, marriage. I will say I'm not burnt out per se. I know some people enter after some pretty big seasons of burnout. I will say that my batteries have not been charging or holding the charge as long as they used to, is what I would say. I think a lot of that is less the ministry, more the pandemic. I think a lot of us experienced some of that fatigue in there. And for me, what you guys could be praying for is the picture that came to mind was in Acts, where Peter and John were arrested and then they were taken before the council and then they shared. It ends up saying that they were, they could see that they were ordinary men with no special training in scripture. They also realized or recognized them as men who had been with Jesus. And so for me, that was always a huge verse when I started following Jesus, because I had no formal training or anything. And I was like, oh, I fit. I can, maybe God wants to do something through this. And it was just spending time with Jesus. And so for me, a huge part of this, I feel like the Lord's just inviting me back to the core of things of, while I do have training and other things, what does it look like just to be connect with ordinary follower of Jesus and just spend time with Jesus? Pretty excited about it. Had a lot of, as it is when you commit to something, all of a sudden you get all these other asks that are, so I've had so many asks to come speak and do things in the month of May. And in contrast to those opportunities is just go be with Jesus in the month of May while my kids are still in school, and I'll have some time to do that. I want nothing to do with all those asks. I just want to go be with Jesus. And I'm feeling like that's a good sign. So you can be praying for that connection with Jesus. And then Ephesians 3:16-19. That's a prayer Paul had. You could pray for that over me and my family. So
hey, let's start now. Heavenly Father, I'm excited. I'm excited for the opportunity that Jay and his family have to step into this space. And I'm even excited as a friend to hear his enthusiasm for connecting with you. I don't know of a better gift in this life that you give us than connecting with you. And yet that doesn't by default always feel like the thing. We're just always looking for earthly things that make us feel good. If it's rest or food or entertainment or release from the burden of responsibility and various things like that. But you have things that are better for us. I mean, all those things sometimes are gifts that you give, but you have even better in your presence. And I pray that Jay would experience that firsthand. There is, I suspect, work you want to do in his heart and soul, some of which he's aware of and others he's not. And I pray that you would do what you intend. You would keep him open-minded to whatever it is you have for him in this season. That his family would experience the blessing of more availability and time with him, and his connection to you increasing in that season blesses them too. So I pray that you would just protect their family. I know for behind the scenes with ministry support has been a challenge even to understand what the needs are with the transition to Reliant on the last couple months. And I just pray that you would put your hand over all that, sort it all out, take one worry off of Jay's plate so we can enter into this with a greater degree of freedom and clarity. Thank you for your blessings in our church. Thanks that you're bringing fruit and new friendships and new opportunities and new stories, and you're continuing to bless and enhance the blessings you've given us with the old stories, if you will. You're moving in our lives. You're changing us. You're making us more like you. So would you make us bold in the opportunities you've given us to expand your kingdom, to participate in the roles and the spaces you've given us. And we pray all this in your name. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks for joining, everyone. Appreciate your time. I hope you have a great rest of your morning and a wonderful service.